Don't have any message on scheduled out. I don't have any notes. I just want to discuss with you a few things that the Lord been talking to me about, asking you some questions, presenting the problems that we've had. There is a place in the Bible that says something about our inheritance. Remember, where would we look for that? Our inheritance. I want you to get to thinking. I'd like for you to leave some questions in your mind. I can't answer them probably, but in 1 Peter there we'll notice, I think Ephesians brings some more of those facts. In the third verse it tells us, Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Something for us. So if it's for us and He has paid such a tremendous price, let's endeavor to claim all that He has for us.
Yes,
he would favor us. The thought had been coming through my mind about when the discovery of America was made. Those old pioneers just reaching out, said travelers or whatever you want to call them. And when they had found the land, and they begin to hear about America, and they'd come and they'd set their foot on that portion of the continent and set up a flag, and this is in the name of France, this is in the name of Spain. You see, claim all of that territory for that. And it worked pretty good, I guess. The French come way up to the north, and Spanish and English, and their claims that hold out. I'm thinking, spiritually speaking, when we put our foot on the promises of God and on the spiritual inheritance that we have, there's vast territories for us to explore. I was thinking one night, it came to me so forcibly, about the different ones down in Florida, the land of flowers, and how they enjoyed that and begin to looking for the cities of gold, you know, seven cities of Cibola, those cities of gold. Where are those? The fountain of youth. I hear there's a fountain where you can, and it just began to work in my mind. We just transfer that a little bit spiritually and begin to think about, there is really a fountain, isn't it? And
yes,
if I stop and go to thinking about it, I'm going to think about Zechariah 13. Is that about to tell something about the fountain, doesn't it? It's going to be open. Of course, we're just going to mention a few of those things. We want to get our minds reaching out. We want to get your inquiry really working in your soul, and something will have to get a hold of in the Word to satisfy it. All right, read it for us.
In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness.
Yeah, and it just turned out to be over there in Revelation says something about it, and Ezekiel says about those rivers, and
yes,
great rivers, fountains of water flowing. If you bathe in that fountain of youth, become young again. We don't want that, but this bath and this fountain we're talking about beats that all to pieces,
yes,
doesn't
amen.
It? If he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe it's out there. There we, let's step out on that. We'll never die if we believe on that. We, this fountain that we, it does something for us, doesn't it? Now what I'm thinking about is investigating these things that he brings to our minds, and then through the Bible, there's so many places. Thinking about tracing the Lord, we would have been so glad, and to been the announcement there, to heard the announcement where Mary was going to bring forth this son, an angel visiting there for John, and then in that group there in Luke 1 where the angels made the announcement of his coming, that would have been good, wouldn't it? Been looking for it and waiting and long, and here it is, when it comes true. You know, it's pretty hard to wait. It just seems like it's so hard for us to wait. And about the best thing for us to do is get busy doing something, and then that time will get through well better. Well, I just following down there about the announcing of the birth and the wise men coming to worship him. His trip down into Egypt and back up to Nazareth, and seemed like the curtain just kind of closes there, doesn't it? Once we see there about 12 years old, and then he's a carpenter. I just thinking about that today. He was a carpenter. 30-year-old man before he started out in his ministry, he was a carpenter. He must have worked at the carpenter business.
Yes,
he must have been a workman. I don't know just how far. You see, now I have a lot of problems. I get into these things. And if you can help me out, I just want you to picture out in here and help me. But the carpenter's son comes forth. Is that what they called? Isn't this Joseph's son, didn't it? 30 years old, this is Joseph's son. They didn't mean to be encouraging too much. But and then we have Jesus at the trial and Gethsemane and at Calvary. We can pass over those things. That those are not the thing that's especially on my mind tonight. But it's good to tarry at Calvary, at the cross.
Yes, amen.
To think about that quite often. I was so impressed with how Jesus bore the curse for us. He became a curse.
Yes.
Sin. I don't know just how much God wasn't pleased with sin. He couldn't look on sin, and there come a time that God couldn't look on his son. So he just had so much of our sin somehow. Quite a problem there, isn't it? That God had to turn his back. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Darkness and all that great event. Then we think of the death on the cross, and he said, "It is finished. It is finished." And I've been wrestling with that thought. This is near all of Jesus' story when he died on the cross. It's finished now, isn't it? Because there was a resurrection. Well, there's some other things that followed after that. It's finished, the plan of salvation, the atonement plan, I suppose. That's what he had. It is finished. But Jesus wasn't folded up and quit his business. Moving on a little farther to the resurrection. A great scene there was. We were not there, but what all that involves as we go along on these journeys. Now, we have set our foot on our inheritance by faith. The earnest of our inheritance is the Spirit of promise, isn't it? Ephesians there tells us the Spirit of promise. It's by faith. You remember the last time I was up here, we talked that all comes through faith, doesn't it?
Yes,
we're going to have to venture out if we put our foot on this thing that we're talking about tonight. It's by faith we're going to reach into these things, that they're going to be opened up. It is that way that the blessings comes into our souls and makes us enjoy life. Thinking about the inheritance and the earnest of the Spirit. He sent us the Spirit. This is the earnest of something else is going to come. I believe the history, or the looking into the origin of that word, it said that when the interior decorator was going to decorate the house, he didn't bring the whole row of goods to match it. He just usually cut off a little remnant. And he could take that remnant and match the colors to see if this is what he wants. And that remnant, that meant the earnest of that role. This little remnant, that isn't all there are to it. There are more to come, just like it. And we find the good blessings of the Lord, and that thing that blesses our soul so much. The earnest of the Spirit is the portion of our inheritance, and there's a full role to come after. How much of that role do we have unrolled before us? There's just plenty there for all of us, isn't it? We can really match the things up. We come to the resurrection. That's wonderful. And then it seemed like there's where most of our preaching and teaching and thinking stops. Resurrection brings in the general resurrection of us and all. But Jesus, he said back there, it is finished. The atonement was finished, but he ascended. He was out there talking to his disciples one day, and he just began to go up. He ascended. Now, we don't hear much about the ascension. I don't know if we have a whole lot. Now, here, I want you to help me out. If you can help us out, you know, he's all standing. You men of Galilee, why stand you looking up into the heaven? This same Jesus that you see going away is going to come again. Well, there's something else to follow. Yeah.
Yes,
you got the remnant. We have the earnest of it. We enjoy each one of these steps, the announcement of his coming, his trial, his death, his resurrection. Now we come to the ascension. We're not near to the end of the story yet. The ascension of Jesus, and where he told his disciples, "Where you meet me." You see, that was down on Mount Olivet, wasn't it, that he ascended? I believe they came back from Mount Olivet. And he instructed them that he would meet them way up in Galilee. "I'll meet with them in a mountain way up in Galilee." And that's, they were all together up there. And he kept his promises. The ascension. Would you like to know more about the ascension of Jesus? I would. I intend to find out more about it some of these times. His having that power just going right on up to the clouds. Said he's going to come again, didn't he? So he's going to come again in like manner as you've seen him go. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's going to come again. If I go, I will come again, you see, when he prepares that place. The ascension. Now, I wonder did he really go up? Get us some scriptures. Where is he? Where is our Savior tonight? Would there be one in Matthew 8?
Seated and is on the right hand of the Father.
Yeah, now we want to get that established a little better. In Hebrews 8 and 1, and we have Hebrews 9 also, is it? Let's take these steps a little slow as we go, maybe. What does he say there in Hebrews 8 and 1?
"Out of the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens."
Well, that would be good, wouldn't it? Are there one there in the 9th chapter or right along there? I know in the 12th chapter there's plenty of...
"Christ is not entered into the holy places, made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us."
Now to appear not only in his presence, but in the presence for us. That's enough to establish us that he is at the throne of God, isn't he?
Yes, amen.
I wonder what kind of a homecoming they had when Jesus came back to the throne. Let's think a little bit about his humiliation. Where are you going to find some scriptures that gives his humiliation, taking upon him the form of man, and being found in that fashion, he humbled himself. And come on down, what is that? Philippians 2. And also let's have Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4. The coming down and the going up of Jesus, the humiliation and the exaltation. If we can get a picture in our mind, I want you to get more in there that make you want more of it. The more we get, the more of it we want, isn't it? Do we find one there where he was humiliated, he comes down, and then it was...
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yes.
But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Now listen, he's coming down and down and down. The death of the cross looks like about the bottom, wasn't it? All right, now the next verse, what?
Wherefore?
Wherefore? Because of this fact.
God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Have we been partakers of that? Are we still going to have some opportunities of seeing this expressed, aren't we? More and more. He humbled himself. Did it say God exalted? God raised.
Therefore, God also had highly exalted him. Highly exalted.
Something good to think about. Now he is at the throne of God, and God has highly exalted. How high did he exalt him there? Did it say?
And given him a name which is above every name.
Yes. It doesn't say in that place at the name.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Think of this now. He exalted him how high? He lifted him up like he puts us into the kingdom of God. He revealed this unto this, but he exalted him and gave him a name that's above
every name.
That'd be the president, wouldn't it?
Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That doesn't leave too much out.
The whole thing. He really has exalted him. I want to follow after him. I want to find out more about him. I like to get his favors. He has something good for us. If we can just... Well, we're obligated. He's obligated to us because we have an inheritance and it's promised, and we have the earnest of it, and we realize there's more to come yet. More to be unrolled in this great role that he has for us. Does he have in Ephesians there one we'll notice, I believe? Ephesians 1 and also 4. Last part of 1 is which he wrought in Christ. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? There's your believing again, isn't it? I hope we have time to go over in Revelations and get some believers. We need help on that, don't we? To him that overcometh, if we can just believe the promises, it's going to bring us closer to these things. It's going to make it more vivid for us. And it said here, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I'm thinking about that event, that great happening when Jesus went home to the Father. Don't you think they'd be rejoicing up there?
Yes.
Glad for the Son to come back. We're glad for him because he remembers us to make intercession, doesn't he? But around the heavenly home up there, no doubt, great rejoicing. You remember,
yes.
Jesus said something about when the wayward one come home, you see, the Father met him. Well, what about his own son when he'd been on this journey? What a journey he'd been. They crucified him. They rejected him. They turned him down. But he come forth. God just raised him up. And that's the earnest of our inheritance. Let it unroll a little farther for us.
Yes.
Partakers of it. It's not something that you earn, is it? The inheritance. This inheritance, you can't earn that. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus, I like to think about. We just can't pass that up. It's so good when He pours His righteousness out on us. Our righteousness is what? As filthy rags. The difference. But His righteousness, and then when He declares that if we embrace the great plan of salvation, accept His Son, if we believe in it, He said, I declare Him to be righteous. That's a righteous person. And that is us, isn't it?
Yes, amen.
Not our righteousness. His righteousness, it is a gift that He pours out. We don't earn that at all. Thank the Lord. Did we have, and is something else there that we wanted in the, let me see. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. It never will be anyone greater, will it? No use of looking for anyone else. And has put all things under His feet. And gave Him to be the head of all things, even to the church. That takes, because it's armed around us, doesn't it? Even to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. And in the fourth chapter, I believe, in about 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Come on down a little farther. The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man upon them, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, every wind of doctrine, but sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait, speaking in truth and love. But he said that he, no, but down below there in the ninth verse, says, now he that ascended, no, the eighth, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Now that would be a quiet study, wouldn't it? What all is included then? He just didn't say he just led this thing or that. He led captivity. Anything that's capturing and hindering you, he led that away, didn't he? Captivity. And gave gifts unto men. I'm thinking about the gift of the inheritance of the Lord Jesus that we can have a privilege of assembling together with His people and not being disturbed. We're not afraid the police is going to come and get us and take us in. It just come to my mind about last night. We had a little gathering and Gene was telling about the Russian, the German people over there. And there's no children over there in their congregation. Not a whole lot of children here, are they? Just mostly grown. But other than that, we just have... This looks like
can't teach their children unless they get to 18.
Population explosion. But there's no children in the congregation. I think they have one, two, and they was trying to reason out. I wonder how come. What's going to happen? He said there's all. He said I believe he said about 75% were above 65 years old. What happened in about 10 or 12? 15 more years. One or two children. He said up in Russia there, if that child would happen to say God or mention something like that, that child was taken away
from his parents.
And as far, Gene is also puzzled yet about the reason there are not more children. But that's one thing that would...
You can't teach them until they get up to 18, and by then the state has them indoctrinated to where they won't become Christian.
The enemy's sure working all right. But he said he ascended up on high and led captivity. Let's pray for those people over there.
Yes, amen.
That they can overcome this somehow. and have that congregation. Oh, how earnest and how they'd pray. Gene said he'd maybe wanted to get up and start testifying. And tears, he said, the tears run clear down, coming out and past his Adam apple and just going. And he looked around. He said he began to look for his handkerchief himself. And said, looked around, most all the rest of them had their handkerchiefs out there just weeping and crying in testimony. I wonder, are we as sincere about the gospel? Are we as tender as we ought to be? These things that ought to become real to us, that we could just go right into them and enjoy them so much.
Yes, amen.
We have a precious privilege here, exalted Him. I'm thinking about Jesus going back home and being received back home. What a glory. Now, the line of truth that we've been mentioning about the death, His condescension, and the ascension, and the crucifixion, and all, and the ascension, going back to the Heavenly Father, and sending the Holy Spirit down here to help us. Now, would that be all of the story? No. He said it's finished, but only the plan of salvation was finished back there, wasn't it? He said He's going to come again, didn't He? But before He comes again, not only was He exalted and raised to the Father, but they enthroned Him, they crowned Him. I believe there's a song that we have. I'll be glad if we have that. If we could sing a verse of that. When Jesus got home and they honored Him, so glad for Him to come. Not only did He get home, but they crowned Him. We're going to have to get Revelation to talk to us a little here on some of these things. Do we have that one verse there, anyone? All right.
We'll shout and sing our Redeemer's praise, contending for the truth and right. We'll crown Him King in every heart and conquer in Jehovah's might. Crown Lord of hope, crown Lord of hope, crown the blessed Savior, Lord of all.
And we don't have to wait till we get up there, do we? We can crown Him right here. A scripture here in Exodus, the 3rd chapter. We mentioned this with you before, but we got some other. There's a song, something about the honey in the rock. What does that mean? Brother Bob, what would that mean, honey in the rock? That would just imply to us in general. Honey in the rock.
Word of God is honey. Rock is Christ.
You want to sing that song for us? Honey in the rock for me. Well, in Exodus, the 3rd chapter that we had talked about before, and the 4th verse, I'll begin. This is a burning bush. It's still burning, isn't it? And when the Lord saw that He turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Now what's the Lord going to say? It surely is going to be something. I'm just anxious to get a hold of that. What's He going to say? Lord, here's Moses, and got His attention. Moses, Moses. Here am I. We're ready for something. The stage is all set, isn't it? See if I can see this real good. And he said, Draw not thy hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. Moreover, he said, now he told him it was a holy place, but here's something else. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid. I've read that over so many times. Thinking about when you get pretty old, it's about time for you to go, and you begin to think about your departing is going to be in the place of departed spirits, and the Lord is we've been talking about Him sitting there by His Father on the throne. What about this? I want you to think of that now. What did He say? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What is the thought here? These people had been dead 400 years. And He said, I am their God. For He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Then they're still alive, aren't they? Oh, that just blessed my soul. I thought, well, if I can't make it right to the throne on the first jump, if we have to wait there a while, He said, I'm the God of the living. We'll be alive anymore. To depart and be with Jesus is better anyhow, isn't it? The Word of God is powerful and quick. It comforts our heart. It gives us instruction. It gives us a lift from time to time. Let us stop by Genesis 13 just for a little bit. You know where I'm going already, Archie. If I would say Genesis 26 chapter, that would be something about digging wells again, wouldn't it? I've heard Brother Archie preach that way back when he's a young man. Digging again the wells of the Father that the enemy had stopped up. These wells coming out. Genesis 13, what would that be about? That's Lot and Abraham, isn't it? But I'm thinking about after that thing was over, down at the 14th verse. After they had made a decision and Abraham... and seeing the Lord said unto Abram after the Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. You're exploring the things of the Lord. He leads you out in a wide open place. You just look north and south and east and west. And He says way over there in the New Testament, they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and sit down with Him at His table. Feed on the spiritual things that He pours out to our soul. These old truths are... The Bible is just inspired, isn't it? For all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. I don't believe we're taking enough territory in our inheritance. That we're reaping enough benefits. Our God is all powerful and almighty. May the Lord help us to get our minds quickened.
Why did you tell them when they was going over the Canaan way?
Yeah. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, and if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thou seed shall be numbered. You know, He talks about the dust of the earth. It seems like it's the seed. They're going to be many descendants from you. And then He kind of lifts that up to the stars. It seems to me like He lifts it up in the spiritual realm. And there's going to be many stars. Are there not? Can we be one of those little twinkling stars that He has promised? It comes by faith. It comes through the promise. And we have the earnest of it. We have the little portion, but there's more to come yet, aren't there? Oh, when He said it was finished, He didn't mean it. This part was all over. He said, I'm going to come again. And where I am, there you may be. That's going to shorten the distance, isn't it?
Yes,
in time. But then when I got this truth that He was the God of the living, they had been dead 400 years and He was their God.
Yes,
the God that, so they were still alive, wasn't they?
Yes,
after you're gone, you're going to be still alive. I am, and He's our God.
Yes,
kind of helps us out, doesn't it? Well, and He walked through the land in the length and in the breadth of it. For I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre, which is Hebron, is that all of it? And built there an altar unto the Lord. I think about Joshua. Would that bring your mind to kind of Joshua, wouldn't it? What did he tell Joshua? Just all that you put
all the land that you, wherever you put, sole of your foot shall tread. Wherever you go out, wherever you walk, all that land will be yours.
1889, they had an opening, didn't they?
Yes.
Here in Oklahoma. And it, well, the land was free, but they had to get in there and possess it. Here we are tonight, reaching out on free land. 89ers is laid aside from this.
So we had told him when he started to lay it, armor down, he said, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed.
I just decided many times that there is much unexplored spiritual territory for us to reach out on. It's going to take Bible study. It's going to take us preachers presenting the truth in an inquisitive manner that souls will be drawn to the Bible,
yes,
not to the ministry. If it was, you'd sure be in hard shape, wouldn't you? But it's Jesus, Jesus from the beginning to the end. Thank the Lord. He came, a little baby, and he was tried and crucified. He was resurrected. He ascended to the Father, the great coronation. I believe we better move over in Revelation just a little here. I like there in about Joshua. You know when the Lord come out there and met Joshua and had a sword drawn over. Well, I wouldn't want all that man. He had a sword drawn, and here was his leader of the people that he had anointed and pressed. And Joshua, he went right out there to see who he was, didn't he? The minister on the wall was going to find out what's going on here. But when it found out it was the Lord Jesus himself, he went down. And it's time for us to go down. When, well, thank the Lord. I didn't have any of these wrote down. But, well, here's this opens up to Daniel in the 7th chapter. Let's stop there just a little.
Yes.
Good places in Canaan land. Come on over in the Canaan where the milk and the honey flows. Honey in the rock. That old lion killed that donkey. Is that what he's talking about there? In Daniel 7 and 8, no, 7 and 9, he let Daniel in on a little bit of this scene. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. That's the temporal throne. And the Ancient of Days did sit. The God of all creation sat on his throne. Let Daniel see that. We need more spiritual vision. We need to be more, let our imaginations reach out when it's founded on the truth. Now we have the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. The throne was like a fiery flame. Ooh, that's the throne of God. Fiery flame. Anything unclean, defiled, it just wouldn't last, wouldn't stay there, would it? All of our sins was included in that. Don't you think that fire flame just burned them up? And it's still spreading today.
Yes.
You know, these prairie fires used to come across this country, and they would just sweep things, wouldn't they? Well, the Holy Spirit fire, during this dispensation, we would just love to see it wipe out a lot of the things that are confronting the saints with, bumping up against them. Now this is good. It's all right to look at, isn't it? It said, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, his hair the head like the pure wool. He had garments. He had head, didn't he? What does God look like? His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. Oh, that ought to bring fear. Is everything, the bookkeeping, up to date? Are the books all open and ready? He sees that, doesn't he? The books were open. Let's notice in the 5th chapter of Revelation, he gives us a little bit of these, a little different part. And here in the 4th chapter, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. Now, we've read this to you many times. Come on down here. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper, the sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. John was no doubt handicapped there to being dazzled with all of this great scenes before him, but he helps us out. He gives us some explanation here. In sight like unto an emerald, and around about the throne, the 24 elders upon the seats. And I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. They had on their heads crowns of gold. They had crowned him Lord of all, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Thinking about the class we had there this morning, young people, our thought was, prepare, get yourself ready that the Lord can use you. Step into that place that the Lord has prepared for you to operate. And I was thinking about if the Lord wanted to call out an evangelist, he wanted to call out a missionary. Ooh, this one has 4 children. This one has 5 or 6 children. You reckon the Lord would see fit to take one of those away from that family and send him a missionary? And they begin to look around and it looks like the thing is all tied up just about. The population explosion, well, it wouldn't be consistent for a woman to get up and leave her home and leave those children. That's her job to raise those children, isn't it? I thought, well, is this the right class? Maybe we got the message in the wrong class. Maybe we ought to be talking to the younger. No, I said, this must be right. Because you have your children to raise up now. Better put something else in their mind besides getting married and home conveniences. There's a great need of today that's waiting for the Lord to place them somewhere. And how can we go? Here am I, send me. But why didn't some of us over? I don't know. But what are we going to do about this? We're thinking about maybe they can teach their children to get their eyes and be more dedicated to the Lord and have more thought about Him. We don't hear much about someone just going off to the islands. Been reading a book a while back up in Alberta, Canada, Calgary, Edmonton, is that right? The little town up there named Britain. And it said there was no man that had, I don't know, kind of a school there or something. And the pupil had come to school. And he said those people down at the islands right north of Australia, it's called the Netherlands Island, but it doesn't have anything to do, New Guinea. three tribes on this one island, and all they've ever done is just to fight one tribe against the other, and the other said they need someone who will go, and someone who's got to said, I'll go. And I believe he got acquainted with a lady, and they got married, and they went to those cannibals where they kill the people and eat their flesh. I thought that was, that isn't near all that story. It's just nearly unthinkable. They lived to build a house maybe 40 feet up in the trees. That's their tree house. They live up there. Three tribes, each one had leaders, you see. And they wore and they wore. And their motto was to see who could be the most deceitful one. That's the most popular one in the whole tribe, is the one that can be the most deceitful. Let me see, the child something was the name of that story.
Peace Child.
And Peace Child. Who was that said name? You read that?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Quite a story. Mm-hmm.
Peace Child. All right, if I understand this right, I just be about beside myself when I was trying to read that. Well, this old chief over here and this one, they'd be warring, killing, you see, just slipping up and throwing that spear. They just throw that spear clear through a hole. And that would put honors, you see. If they kill that fellow, they'd take his jaw and that put around that young lady's neck, you see, that would be some decoration. And he could use that skeleton, that head, for his pillows, couldn't he? He'd sleep on those decorations. I'm not even telling you, but a peace child, this king over here, this old chief, maybe take one of their little children. Now they're trying to settle argument, you see, we're going to have peace. It seemed like they realized that was better, wasn't it? And he would take his baby, and they would exchange those babies. Is that the way? You come right along that way? And you see, if you back out now, we got your brother, you see, and if you back out, peace, child. And these missionaries went into there, into those people, and they wasn't making any access, but they got this peace, child. And then they begin to connect the Lord Jesus as being a better peace, child. Your child, you see, you could kill it. It could die, then the other one wouldn't be responsible anymore. But this one won't die. He's better, and he comes through. I don't know if I'd recommend for you to read it or not. Buried it when the one would die. They said just as soon as he was unconscious, he was dead, whether he's breathing or not. And they'd go ahead and bury him, you see, while they put him up in those trees. And after a few days, and that weather, you know, he would putrefy. And now they're trying to be popular. Who's going to be the chiefest? Get under that and shake that and let those worms and everything come down on his head. He would be a great man, you see, if he did that. And then, after this man would blow it all up in that 2 days, I told you that wasn't near all of it. He'd take his fist and hit that body and then take that hand and do some eating with that hand. I guess that's far enough. But the peace child, these missionaries got a better peace child, and they got those all lined out on that island. I believe it. I just didn't get it too plain. I didn't go too close. But we have a peace child too, don't we? Oh, well, let's just attend this little reunion a little better. In the seventh verse, the first beast like unto a lion, we acquainted with those. The four holy ones had each them six wings above. We're going to see this in reality them the day. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. Holy, if you're around that event, I imagine it'd be easy to say holy, holy. What is it? They bowed and cried holy. Is that what the song says? Cried holy. Cried holy, what, three times? Then glory to the Lamb of God. Thank the Lord. And when these holy ones gave glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy. They didn't claim any worthiness of their own. I wonder, are we too popular? How would you get along without me, you see? How? Would it be a quite a loss or not? No, it'd just go right on, wouldn't it? He's the one that is worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are. And we're created. We are created for the pleasure of the Lord. If we can claim His promises, there's a lot of good things hid away in the book, aren't they? I remember the incident about the father was to pass, and he had some sons, and he said, told his son, the treasure is in the orchard. The treasure, so they begin to look. And they dig and they dig and they dig in the orchard. In the meanwhile, I don't know if they were lazy boys or not, but of course they were hunting for that treasure. And while they was doing that, they dug the ground all up and made it in such a shape that the trees just brought forth the fruit. And that was the treasure He was talking about. May the Lord help us. I believe we're supposed to work, don't you? I believe the preachers are even supposed to work. Of course, Brother Archie's done his duty. He's still got a job, though, hasn't he? Working for the Lord. May the Lord help us. I just appreciate this congregation here. I just kind of love to come down here and be with you. May the Lord bless each of you, is my prayer.